episode from Fox Sports.
This is Jochen Graff.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood,
ball's going to bounce down. It's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It is 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. You're listening to the Unused Substitutes, your Rowdies Talk Radio, the Green and Gold Gospel. We are live on Radio St. Pete. We are part of the Beautiful Game Network, and we are presented by Roughneck Scars. Been a little bit of a hectic afternoon and evening. I didn't even get a chance to go on real quick and pull out. I wanted to pull five more BGN names to shout out. In the intro, I will do it in a post while we wait to post the show. But Steven, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce our executive producer, and then I have a quick note to say about that.
Well, our executive producer tonight is the honorary, the absolutely professional and amazing Mike Manganiello, someone who has been wanting to be a Patreon supporter of this show for a long time. That is not hyperbole. I've known that from him. Years ago, I talked to him and he had mentioned it at one point. So I know that he has always openly supported us. So as a response, we openly support you as always, sir. Thank you for becoming a Patreon member of our little show here.
So some background for the non in the area listeners or people who stay tuned into other parts of Twitter than Rowdy's Twitter, which some days is a good idea. Mike has been the long time. I mean, he's been with the team for years. He started out as an intern, I believe, out of college, left for a while, came back. Him and Nico worked. They were the two-man communications department. Nico recently departed. Mike was promoted to overall communications coordinator. He's been the voice behind all the tweets, the brains behind a lot of the viral videos and things that have happened. You know, the egg stunt. What was the other one? They like did something else with a trash can. It was like the header challenge or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think getting the footage of the helicopter drying the pitch was one of his his ideas, and with a lot of other people involved with the team, was furloughed for quite a while this year, and was recently told that the furlough is ending, but not in the way that means you get to come back to work. In the way that means you don't get to come back to work at all. And when we got started doing this 5-6 years ago, we had, you know, we started a Twitter account and everything before we even had recorded a show. We followed the team, and Mike was like within like 5 or 6 minutes of following the Rowdies on Twitter, he's like sending us messages like, "Hey, what's going on? What are you guys doing? How can we help?" Like, he has been there from day one. And as part of doing this show for a while, I've had a chance to talk to other podcasters, from other teams, from different leagues like USL, NASL, MLS, whatever. The access, the cooperation we've gotten from the Rowdies, while Mike has led or been part of that department has, and I wrote this the other day, has been the exception, not the rule. We I have people like sending me messages usually once or twice a season, like, how do we get this done? And I'm like, I don't know, because the Rowdies just came to us and were like, hey, you want press passes? Hey, you want post-game interview access? We've rarely asked for anything, and they've been like, hey, let us hook you up. Let us help you out. Mm-hmm. And Mike's been the spearhead behind that. And now normally, to be to be one of the Patreon producers, that's at the $10 level. Mike is not at the $10 level, but I feel after 6 years of setting us up with lots of great stuff and helping us out, and that I was going to make an exception for tonight at least, and put Mike in, because has more than earned it. He's driven down to my place in Sarasota. He was our first live studio guest when the studio was the room I'm sitting in now, and him and Dan drove down here, which was like an hour for Mike and nearly 2 hours for Dan to come down here to do it, and just hung out and spent the show with us and just talked about everything about the Rowdies. This is hard because there's not been a lot of things, and you look at how the Rowdies have been on the pitch the last 2 years have been two of the best seasons statistically last year, and this year is kind of weird because of the whole reconfiguration, but two of the best years of watching them play. But there's been some things off the pitch, and the merch has been the biggest one. But now this is another one that I really am not happy with it. And I don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes business wise, and I don't get to make the decisions and explain the decisions or know all the info. But Mike did a hell of a job. I constantly am surprised. Like the way I look at some other teams online, and kind of the following they have from people who don't live in their markets. Like I'm thinking of Forward Madison. Tulsa's gotten a reputation this year all of a sudden of having a good online presence. The way I've viewed those teams as being it's a pretty cool thing they got going over here. I've come to realize there are people around the country who feel that same way about the Rowdies, and a lot of that's due to Mike's and Mike's voice. You can't just put anybody in that job. You can develop the voice over time. But if you don't have it in you to start with, then it's not going to happen. And Mike had it in him and has developed it over the years. And he's going to get hired somewhere else, and he's going to do a hell of a great job. And we'll be happy for him and his wife and his young son. But I hate that it's not going to be here. And all things end, but I don't like the way this one did. And I'm just going to put that out there, which I don't think is news to anybody, but. Thank you for everything, Mike, and thank you for everything. Now joining the Patreon as well too. We are in your debt in more ways than one, and always will be.
And for those that may be wondering, maybe why I'm not saying more about the segment. Obviously, I'm much newer to the show overall in its history compared to Matt before me. But from everything that I've talked to, from everybody involved with the Unused Substitutes, and in the brief time that I had. I've had as a co-host working with Mike, this podcast would not be what it is without Mike, period. That is absolutely unquestionable at this point. And so if you enjoy listening to us, if you have enjoyed the content we have put out there, the interviews, all the work that Jake has done on the website, mm-hmm. with all the articles that he has written over the years, I can guarantee you that the vast majority to almost all of it is pretty much due to Mike and his initiative to try and make sure that there was a voice outside of the club talking about the club on a regular basis in an in-depth and informative way. That's what this podcast was hoping to be. And I mean, personally, I don't think we're quite there yet. I think there's some things that we could do better. But without Mike, we would be nowhere.
Absolutely.
We would have nothing. And I think that's the thing that really sucks about this whole thing is that Mike is, he's an amazing professional man. And we totally appreciated everything that he did for us. He openly welcomed me into this role. You know, it's obviously when you've got fan-run podcasts and you, I mean, obviously we're not paid professionals. We're not trained professionals in any way.
We have no background in this. We have no anything.
Exactly. And so when, like, when you're on the outside, when you're a part of the club and you see a change, now granted, I'm a familiar face within the organization already, but when you see a change in that fan-run news outlet, as you were, as an organization, you're going to be a bit apprehensive at first, no matter who it is, because you don't know if that's going to change the content that you've been, you know, basically supporting for the last couple of years in this case with the unused substitutes. And I can tell you from personal experience, when I hopped in, started recording some shows, when you and I first started, Matt, we were down doing live shows at the Shamrock Pub for the first like 3 weeks of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, so that way you and me could build a little chemistry while we were on the air together. And Mike was openly sending me messages and emails and saying, hey, this is what we need to do to kind of get you up to speed here. This is what we can do to help you and that kind of stuff. Not many, if any at all, professional sports clubs at any level will take that kind of initiative to for a fan-run news site as we are.
Exactly.
And I absolutely would openly support Mike getting hired anywhere. As because
well,
he absolutely
let's not say
it.
Anywhere.
Well, okay.
I love Mike,
let's
but he can't head over I-4.
That's true.
Nor
That's
would
true.
He. I'm relatively
that
sure.
That is true too. If he goes south on I-75, I'm okay with it. But if he goes east,
yeah.
If he goes east. Just saying, all of these kind words will kindly get redacted. The episode can be edited and posted later if need be. I'm just saying.
Look, we hit a bunch of episodes at Dan's request just on the off chance there was something in there that would not be good for a campaign. So we can do it again. The first 13 episodes that we use a different service for are, as far as I know, unfindable. I'm still hoping to locate them somewhere, but it can be done. We can make episodes disappear. It can be like Russia in the 80s over here. Okay, we can make this happen. But yeah, I mean, and to go back to you, like Mike's got a background in this. He's got education in this area, and to kind of open up the way he has to a couple of random dudes who just wanted to talk about the Rowdies. You know, that there's info we've had before it's been public news. And we've never really been told not to say something or you know, but there's stuff that we've known. And out of respect to Mike and the job he's done, we've said, you know, let's sit on this for a little while. He's made us want to be better. At least he's made me mm-hmm. want to be better at trying to do this and figuring out how to do this. And it's like, you know, there's discussions we have when we get tidbits. And sometimes we get tidbits from the team and sometimes we get tidbits from elsewhere that are later confirmed by the team. I'll tell you a funny story though. I have to leave some names out, to protect the, semi innocent. The Joe Cole thing, we knew, or at least we kind of thought we knew for a couple months before it was announced. And not even going back to the, hey, who's that random guy in the box at Al Lang, a phrase that hits differently these days, but had gotten a tip from someone that some paraphernalia for the locker room was being created, and there were some player names that we didn't know we were on the team at that time. And, you know, one by one, we didn't say anything. One by one, they'd get announced. And I said, okay, that's that name checked out and that name checked out. So we asked Mike, we're like, who's this Cole guy? Because it's just the last name. And I jokingly to Jake and Dan said, we're going to sign Joe Cole. Like, total, I will own this. I will not even try and claim credit that I just knew. It was a total off-the-top-of-my-head joke. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're signing Joe Cole. And and we asked him about it, and he was like, oh, no. And he sent this, like, this link to some, like League Two player in England who was like 34 and had bad knees and like last name was Cole. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. We're signing this piece of like, no offense to the guy, but like, this is not the player we should be in the market for.
I remember this story.
Just throwing a curveball. And I want to make something else clear, because it might sound like I'm doing some live subtweeting, and I kind of am. I don't know who's handling the communication stuff, running the social accounts now. I'm not blaming them for anything. They are a person I assume has been put into a position by their superiors and told, do this. I kind of equate it to like when I first came back to Tampa and I came here for college, Trent Dilfer was the quarterback for the Buccaneers. And this is before he went on and was carried to a Super Bowl championship by the Baltimore Ravens defense. And everybody used to bitch about Trent Dilfer as a quarterback. And I'm like, what? I don't understand what you're doing, because Trent Dilfer is Trent Dilfer. He's a known quantity. If you want to be mad at somebody, be at the person who puts them in this position and keeps them there despite all the evidence pointing in the direction that they should not be in that position. And I'm not saying that whoever's doing this account shouldn't be there, but I'm just making the comparison. No one is going to come in and like sweep people off their feet after the job Mike did. Like, Mike had a specific voice, and it resonated with fans, with soccer fans around the country, with all kinds of people. So sometimes change is necessary, and you still hate it. And I don't know that change was necessary here, and I definitely hate it. So thank you again to Mike. One more thing before we get into the nuts and bolts of the show. We would be completely remiss without, especially now that it sounds like it's getting to be official, we'd be completely remiss to go on to the show and not talk about the things going on in the country tonight, as MLB games have been canceled or postponed, NBA games, WNBA games. I'm seeing tweets now that it looks like the Miami-Atlanta MLS game is going to be called off. They're gathering the balls from the field. No players are out there. In response to another shooting of an unarmed black man in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and then later protests in which two protesters were killed by a 17-year-old with an AR-15. I don't have a whole lot to contribute to this, because as a white guy in this country, I really haven't experienced this, but it bears mentioning. As far as I can tell, the USL games are happening tonight. Louisville's playing Indy, I believe, Charleston and Miami. Those games seem to be going on. The Orlando game is going on. From what I can tell, Orlando, Nashville kicked off. Here we are. Game ball is being taken off the pitch in Fort Lauderdale. Atlanta United players have not come out of the locker room. So someone else pointed this out, and they're saying it better than I could. You know, this is the second time in a year where NBA games have not happened, and it felt like an incredible historic moment, and now it's spreading to these other leagues as well, too. I don't really know what else to say after that, but I wanted to make sure it was mentioned that it was not something that we just said, because someone could come back like in 6 months and listen to this and not know when it was. But it's important to talk about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be mentioned, just because of the fact that we don't know if this will spread to other, not spread to other sports like it's some sort of disease or something, for the love of God. But, you know, we don't know if other teams are going to take the initiative to maybe do this as a form of protest or a strike, if depending on how you want to phrase it. If we hear anything at the Unused Substitutes regarding USL or the Rowdy specifically, we will definitely relay that to you through social media, obviously, as soon as we hear anything. To my knowledge, at this moment, I haven't seen or heard anything specific by anybody publicly. So at the moment, we don't know if we would see anything come out all the way out to the weekend. So the kind of a little bit of a wait and see pattern right now when it comes to these professional athletes trying to make their voices heard and their opinions known about what's going on, not just locally, obviously, but even nationally, certainly. The other thing that we have to mention tonight, of course, is that our thoughts and prayers are with anybody in Louisiana or Texas, mm-hmm. as we are seeing a record-breaking hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico about ready to make landfall. It is going to get very, very close to Category 5 strength. The 8 p.m. update 20 minutes ago officially recorded 150-mile-an-hour winds now. For max sustained, and the pressure's down below 950. In fact, it dropped 6 millibars in like 90 minutes or something like that today, maybe 2 hours. So it's still strengthening as it gets closer to the coastline. So, and they're talking storm surge of like 20 feet is what they're talking about right now in that marshland area. So if we definitely have our thoughts and prayers to everybody that's in that region, because there will be hundreds of thousands of people. First of all, hundreds of thousands of people have already been affected by this. Mm-hmm. So let's not take any away from anybody in the Caribbean. Let's not take anything away from the fact that people have already had major disruptions to their lives in the last few days to this point. But that area is going to be hurting for a long time. That's a very poor region when it comes to finances. So I also want to make sure there's no such thing as hitting an uninhabited area and that somehow it's better than if it hit a more populous right. area or not. These people still deserve every ounce of support, sympathy, and strength that we can give them. And it's a tragedy and a disaster no matter where it happens, because anybody's life affected in this way matters. So,
and it's kind of coming on, pretty much right near the anniversary of Hurricane Andrew, nearly, 30 years ago now? It was 92, and, so yeah, 20. Are you even old enough to remember Hurricane Andrew?
I would have been 3 years old.
Good
so
Lord.
No.
Sophomore, junior in high school, I was born over here, but I grew up in South Florida. I was actually in Homestead like 2 days before the storm hit. I was at Lollapalooza. I ended up on stage for a few minutes with Pearl Jam. There's video on the internet where I can almost see where I was. Because they had like little the mosh pit area in front of the stage, and if you got too close, they would pull you up on stage so you didn't get smashed. And as soon as I saw that, and it was Pearl Jam, was my favorite band, I was like, I got to get up there. So I fought my way into the pit, up to the front, got pulled up on stage, and managed to hang out for a few minutes before they realized I hadn't walked off the stage and then kicked me out. But I get home from that, and my mom, this was like a year or two after my dad had passed away, so my mom, we didn't have shutters or anything for our house, and she's like, all right, pack everything up, we're going to a friend's house about, 30 minutes north. They had this setup where they pushed one button and the whole house was a bunker. There was no light getting in. It was an odd time, but here I was an hour and a half at most north of where the storm came ashore, and we got some light rain and a couple gusts of wind, and it was so dark in the house that I had the best 2 nights of sleep I ever had. But 2 years later, I graduated high school and went down on a trip to the Keys, and still, it looked like it had happened 2 days before, not 2 years before. So trying to picture the damage that this is going to do to that area, it's the potential to be just unbelievable.
Not to mention the fact that this is basically hitting the same exact area that Hurricane Rita hit in, I believe it was 2005, I think.
And I'm sure parts of these places are still recovering from Katrina. It's insane. I guess we should move on and talk about the Rowdies. This is actually a soccer podcast.
I was gonna say
we're getting it all out of the we're getting all the tangents out of the way up front.
I mean, let's be real. We're humans. We live in this world, and if we have to take 25 minutes to talk about some serious topics and things that are happening that affect hundreds of thousands of almost millions of people, then we're gonna talk about it.
I mean, especially I was working in my classroom today with no students, and I talked to about 3 people the entire time I was at school. So, actually talking to other people is a nice bonus today. I'm enjoying it. But let's get into it. We've got another result. Rowdies 2, Atlanta 1. got out of there with the points, almost got out of there with a clean sheet, except for a penalty at the end. Steven, give me your good, bad, and ugly.
Oh, let's put it this way. So first of all, I'm going to preface this with saying that there is no ugly. This was another absolutely amazing game. So much fun to watch. This team has a breath of fresh air in it watching this weekend. So my good, let's go out of the box thinking a little bit here. All right, let's go off the pitch thinking a little bit here. I'm going Neil Collins is my good.
Okay.
I thought the 3-4-3, granted, some of that has to do with injury, as we found out that Domodoro couldn't play that game due to a bit of an injury he sustained in the last game. I thought the 3-4-3 it worked brilliantly. Our team looked absolutely amazing, especially for that first half. Second half, I will forgive because of the weather. Because that wind started picking up at halftime. We were looking at about maybe 20-mile-an-hour gusts, 30-mile-an-hour gusts by the time the ball kicked off in the second half. So, that was going to affect anything that happened on the field at that point. And we almost scored a third goal. But for what it was, especially in that first half, oh my gosh. Everything was perfect. Doherty and Ekra were brilliant in the midfield. Absolutely brilliant. Obviously, when you're looking up front, that goal from Kyle Murphy, oh my goodness.
A soon-to-be deserved winner of Goal of the Week.
Oh, yeah. And
Keep voting if you haven't.
If you haven't voted, make sure you vote. But it does look like he should win that, hopefully. He fully deserves it. That was an amazing strike. Oh, it was so good. But I have to give credit to Neil here on this as my good, because honestly, the way the team played, I mean, it's one thing to have to do formation changes due to injuries. Typically, those kinds of things slow you down. Typically, those kinds of things, you see a bit of a disjointed nature to the way the players will end up playing on the field in situations when they're presented like that. This club was firing on all cylinders. And I absolutely loved it. I don't care that we were playing Atlanta United. Doesn't matter to me. This club looked absolutely unstoppable, especially in that first 45. And so my good goes to Neil.
I'm going to throw my good out to the Rocket Brothers. Trying to think of something else, something good to call him. The both of them, Kyle Murphy getting his first goal as a Rowdy, Jordan Doherty getting his first professional goal ever. And I was thinking, as I'm watching this, there's no way that he would have predicted or expected that his first professional goal would have come in a repurposed minor league baseball stadium in Florida in the U.S. second division in front of about 200 fans. But I guarantee you, he's absolutely not complaining one bit about it either.
Everything
he's played, where he's played overseas and captained the youth teams and played internationally with his youth sides for his country. This is a very different moment, I'm sure, because of the backdrop of everything, but I guarantee you it's one he's always going to remember. So I'm extremely happy for him. I'll throw a good out there, too, for the formation change. Whether it's due to personnel, whether it was due to just let's try and mix things up against Atlanta. I was trying to figure out, to see, is it because they want to give Atlanta a different look than because they've played each other several times already? Is it they want to test some things out against an opponent they feel safe doing that to, perhaps? Whatever it was, it worked like a charm. It absolutely worked like a charm.
So let me ask you a question. Did you watch my post-game discussion with Nuno on the Rowdy's Gaming Twitch watch party?
I did not. I will confess.
Okay. So we talked about this in terms of like whether Neil would do this again and what kind of stuff. I honestly, or and maybe why this succeeded the way that it did. Because I even talked about this at halftime with Derek English. And I want to say that this is probably just a one-off of tactical change. I think this is very directly inspired by the injury to Adoro, which is what caused this. And the fact that, I mean, here's what you have to understand. It's Atlanta United. They have children playing on the field. And I'm not using hyperbole there. They have literal children playing on the field. So having a more aggressive stance is okay because you don't expect much from them. They can surprise you at times, but you're not going to expect a full 90 amazing performance from a team like that. But the other thing is the fact that this is a new coach still. You know, again, we saw the change from Stephen Glass to Tony and on, giving Atlanta a completely different look and a completely different way of playing. I mean, do I need to point out that we barely crossed the ball in that game? How different of a rowdy team is this to not see a lot of crossing? You know, we were actually taking on defenders in the middle of the field. That's not a normal Rowdy's team. That's not a normal Rowdy's game plan. Like, that looked wildly different. But how much of that is just taking advantage of a situation of a coach that hasn't seen much of you and a bad team in general? Like, for instance, if you were to put that 3-4-3 up against, say, a Pittsburgh, are you going to look as dominant as you did tonight or, you know, that night? Probably not. That's not to take anything away from Neil or the Rowdies, but that's just to say that Pittsburgh is that much better than an Atlanta, obviously. But I wouldn't say that we're going to see this a lot. I don't think we're going to see this even this upcoming week. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was. I appreciated the taste in the mouth that kind of tenacity gave us. I loved it.
Well, especially to see them come out and play. And again, like you said, it's Atlanta United, but still you have to do what you're being asked to do by the coach. And to have a side that can come out and play as well in this formation as they have in the one they've played all season in, that's just that it almost gives me a little chill, like to be that talented, or at least have bought in that much to be able to make the switch. And I'm sure it wasn't on the fly. I'm sure it's something they've practiced and they've discussed during the week. It wasn't like Neil, you know, pulled up to Al Lang on Saturday and was like, all right, let's get the 3-4-3 out. By the way, I'm just keeping track of Twitter as they're going on. MLS games being called off and postponed left and right now. RSL and LAFC is off. Dallas and Colorado is off. So it would not surprise me if many more or the rest of them are canceled as well. I did see one other tweet. I hate to keep mentioning them on the show, but at the Orlando-Nashville game, security having multiple interactions with people in the supporters stands for refusing to wear the masks that are part of the policy for coming to the game.
Funny that.
Way to go, idiots.
Funny that.
Surprise, surprise. So that's my good. Bad? Anything, really?
Bad. It is...
The brain fart for the penalty?
You know,
there it is. It's official. All games except for the in-progress Orlando-Nashville game are postponed.
It's hard to say my bad. You know what? Let's do something different tonight. Let's do something a little wild. I'm just going to say none. And not because I can't think of anything, because obviously the Forrest Lasso giving up the penalty on, you can make an argument, it was just a lazy tackle at the very end of a game. I mean, again, you could very easily label that as a bad moment or whatever. I'm not going to, because I tend to try and look at my bads and my uglies, or at least I try to. And I'm sure somebody's going to call me out on totally creating double standards for my own metrics here. But because I know I've done it before. But I don't want to – on a game that we saw like this where the team just looked so good, I'm just going to choose not to. I'm willing to forgive him for that because it didn't cost us anything. It didn't make the game a question mark. Like, if that happened in the 50th minute and we won 2-1, I'm calling that bad. But it happened in, like, what, 90 plus 2 or something like that?
Yeah,
who cares? I don't even care. Like, it's fine.
Well, and
it happened to Fish. Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, Forrest is a very good player. There's no doubt about it. But Forrest yeah. also plays a particular style, and that style is going to lead to this kind of thing happening every now and then. When
it's
you
true.
Sign a guy like that, you're signing him because he brings a physical and a vocal presence to the field, and you accept the fact that from time to time you're going to give up a penalty like this. Even yeah. if, you know, there's you know, some talk about whether the guy went down too easy or not. You kind of have to accept it. As long as it doesn't come in a situation where it causes you to drop points, where it turns a win to a draw or a draw to a loss, then you kind of take it. And there's not a whole lot to say about it. So I'm gonna back you up. I don't have a bad, but I do have an ugly.
Okay.
The fact that
I'm intrigued.
The fact that I couldn't be there.
Oh, that's true. That is ugly. Shame on you.
Well. I get to the ugly part later. And I don't just mean me looking in the mirror, but I was planning on coming up there. We've had for quite a while now. Well, I guess for a year now, we've had three cats since the last one passed away. The last one that passed away was the mother of the three that we had left. They were born on our back porch right before we got married, so about 15, nearly 16 years ago, and one of them was just his time. The only other male presence that's been in my household for the last 15 years, because all the other pets are female, and then I've got my wife and daughter too, so I feel like I've been surrounded. I was there when he was born, and I was there, I wanted to be there at the end, and I was ugly crying nearly the entire time, so there's my ugly for the night.
That's fair. And from one co-host to another, my sympathies with you on the passing of the cat.
Man, you would think this gets easier when you're an adult, and it really, really doesn't, which sucks. But
yeah.
Next game, I will be there. I had let Jake, like, I mean, I was like in my car getting ready to go, and I was just like, I can't because I couldn't. All right. Let's talk about the starting 11 versus our prediction, and maybe not so much necessarily the starting 11, but the formation. Like, that was not something that we had expected or discussed as a possibility. What was your first thoughts when you saw the? Because I saw, I mean, here I am. I've got like a cat that's, you know, having kind of random seizures and not really conscious, and I'm upset about that. And all of a sudden, the lineup comes out, and just a tiny part of my brain was like, "Oh wow, that's really interesting." Look what's happening here. What was your reaction when you saw the lineup?
I was thrilled. Again, you got to remember what I was saying on the podcast last week is I wanted them to come out early, tough, hard, shove it down their throat, punch them in the face, knock them out of the game as quickly as possible, get goals in the first couple minutes, just absolutely run at them. So when I saw the 3-4-3, I felt totally vindicated on everything that I had said on the podcast last week because honestly, that was it. That was so great to see, you know, because let's be honest, with Neil, you could have seen a situation where we played more defensively. Even though we're playing against Atlanta, you could still see that because of the tendencies that Neil has shown over the last, what, year and a half, 2 years now, since he took over officially.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the fact that he did this. Something that I've mentioned maybe not on the show per se, but certainly with others in the Rowdies community, is the fact that let's not forget the fact that Neil is a young coach himself. Neil is yeah. not going to be making changes like a Pep Guardiola, where he's just going to know this complex tactical system and know the right players to implement it and just, you know, dominate, you know, the Premier League type of deal. Like, Neil's not there yet. That's not to say that Neil can't get there. I certainly believe he could. Absolutely. Why not?
So
there's nothing saying we can't.
You're saying Neil doesn't have Messi's phone number on speed dial like Pep does?
Yeah, apparently. But so this is a growing moment for him too, to kind of challenge himself in a lot of ways. This is something that we know of Neil. He loves taking on new opportunities and challenges to try and better himself. And I thought that this was another classic example of him doing just that. I thought it was great. I was very encouraged seeing an aggressive Rowdies lineup. I hope, honestly speaking, that we see it again sometime in the future. I hope that future is closer to now than it is later, but because I think it would be cool to see a team confident in themselves to take on, let's be honest, 3-4-3 leaves you extremely exposed in the back.
Right.
That is a, like, if you were to run that lineup, like I said earlier, if you were to run that lineup against Pittsburgh, that's at, not necessarily asking for trouble, but that is a huge hill to climb to get 3 points. So, and it, you know, once we get to the playoffs, that's going to be the caliber of team that we're playing at that point. So I would be interested in knowing whether the Rowdies would be that bold to try and keep using maybe that system. Like, say, like, let's throw a hypothetical. If Adoro is not here this weekend, do we do it again? Maybe we'll answer that question later in the show. But I thought it was great when I first saw the lineup.
You know, I'd like to see it actually. You talked about doing it again. We've got a lot of, you know, I think one more game against Atlanta. Philly Union 2 is coming to town. We've got, what, two more against Miami. There's a lot of chances to do this against teams that you feel pretty comfortable with. But if you look at the team that's coming up this weekend, sure, they're 7-something points back, and they're playing Miami tonight, so that could change. But that's the kind of the closest threat to the Rowdies' position. In fact, if we play Charleston 3 more times, including this weekend, I'd like to see that against the Charleston team, because until we get to the playoffs, that's going to be probably the toughest team to go up against with this, especially with some of the players they have and the way they play. It could be an interesting little setup there. And I mentioned a second ago a joke about Leo Messi, and I meant to lead off the show with this. I am going to break some Leo Messi news that you are going to hear only here live on the NU Substitutes. I can confirm that Leo Messi will be coming to America for a short vacation at some point, maybe some preseason with a team. Just want to go ahead and put that out there. Everyone, it's been the talk of soccer Twitter since the announcement yesterday. So, you know, some stuff I'll sit on if it's Rowdies related, but some stuff like this, I just got to get out there. He'll be here at some point on a beach with a drink, just chilling, just doing Leo things on the beach. All right. I was trying to make that a lot funnier. It didn't really work out that way. But, you know, you can't win them all. Score prediction. We both called for a 2-0 win, and for the sake of a dubious penalty, we would have been right.
Yeah, that stunk.
Now, are we calling the penalty garbage just because it blew our prediction, or was it just really – you were there in person.
It was a good penalty. I watched it a bunch of times. It looked fine. I mean, it was a late tackle. He didn't get the ball. It is what it is. It wasn't a yellow card. I mean, he didn't get a card for it, because it wasn't anything severe or unsportsmanlike. It was just a weak, poorly timed tackle. Like I said, it was lazy, really, more than anything else.
He owned up to it on Twitter and said, you know, my fault. I apologize to the guys. Anything, I mean, it's Atlanta too. Was anything of note regarding the opponent on the night?
Not in particular. It's about, they should have had a red card. They, Atlanta United, should have received a red card for the tackle that Diop had against Forrest Lasso in that first half. Slide tackle from behind when Forrest was just clearing the ball out from the back area with nobody around him and no pressure at all. Mm-hmm. Just 2 feet from behind, completely took him out. Could have absolutely hurt him. There's no question about it. He could have seriously injured Forrest on that play. How he walked away with just a yellow really bothered me. I have to mention that.
All right, man of the match.
I'm going to do...
I think I'm
going
to do the same thing.
I
have a feeling.
So it's worth pointing out that on the USL Team of the Week for this week,
yep,
Jan Ekra was considered a overall player for the Team of the Week. However,
pulling the rug
much
out.
As I love that, as much as I like that, as much as that makes my heart smile because I've been rooting for Jan Ekra because I think he's absolutely capable of being that man that we need in the middle, not to take anything away from anybody else on this club, like players like Lewis Hilton, for example. My man of the match, I'm going with Jordan Doherty. Because Jordan Doherty stepped up in his offense in several ways during that game. He was making passes up the gut. He was shooting the ball from distance, scoring from distance. He looked awesome. And again, I have to point out, this is what I've been saying about Doherty and his handicap, I think, is Aduro, and that the two of them, offensively speaking, give each other kind of negative pulses back and forth, where they just, it's a great, great, great defensive combination. It doesn't work out as well offensively. And you saw that a little bit when you see Jordan working with just Ekra this weekend. So I will buck the trend of what the USL chose, and I'm going with Jordan Doherty.
All right, Jan Ekra was chosen for Team of the Week, not bench Team of the Week, but the first Rowdies player to make the starting Team of the Week. His stats the other night, 71 minutes played, assisted on both goals, 39 accurate passes, a 98% pass success rate, and created 4 chances. FotMob lists him as the man of the match with an 8.8 rating. But just like I made an exception for the producer, I'm going to make an exception here as well, too, and I'm going to give man of the match to Dieter Karnstedt. He was the emotional inspiration. I saw the banners. I saw the moment of silence for him and Christy and for Barry before the game started. Leo Fernandez posted on Twitter and Instagram that the win was for him, dedicated to him. The players, and I know you saw this and you were there, and I thought this was just, there's a reason why I've lived here for so long, and I've only, the only team I've had season tickets to is the Rowdies. So Dieter's wife Mary knits these scarves for players. I think Jordan will be getting one. Usually it's after their first goal for the team, so Jordan and Kyle will be getting one. And they're all different. It's all, you know, unique patterns and stuff. And Neil came out wearing one, waved to her up in the stands. It was her first time back at a game since the season had restarted. After the game, the players all went over and clapped for her. Seba went up in the stands, gave her the captain's armband. Evan Laura went up in the stands, gave her the goalkeeper kit. And this is, you know, you might look at it and just, okay, yeah, big deal. But, like, to her, that's a lot. That's important. Like, the for all the effort and the energy and the time she puts into this, you know, they're one of the ones leading the effort to go to the airport and meet the players when they come back. It was nice, and it's like, I, someone posted a picture of it, and I'm like, this is exactly why I love this. Like, why do I spend hours talking about a lower division team online and doing all this stuff? It's because of stuff like that. Like, it's just, it was fantastic. So I'm going to make Dieter the honorary man of the match for that one. They should just retire his seat. Pull that seat up. Do something with it, Margaret. That's Dieter's seat. All right, the Group H standings, and I want to double check because I know I updated these, but maybe something has changed. I'm going to go to the USL website. Tampa Bay Rowdies are in first place, having played 9 games with a 6-0-3 record and 21 points on the season. Charleston Battery, currently leading Miami 2-1 in the second half, So if this result stands, they would have 17 points, be 4 points back of Tampa Bay coming in here this weekend. Atlanta United, having played 11 games, the most of any team in the league so far. I think there was one other maybe. Nope, they're the most of the entire USL. One win, 7 losses, 3 draws, 6 points altogether. And the Miami FC, who have not lost since they lost 3-0 to Tampa Bay, have put together 2 draws and a win in their last 3, and are still sitting bottom of the group with 5 points total. So not too bad. Let's talk about some other results from around the league. Oh, I never updated those last 2 games. Okay. We can look them up. It was a weekend. Let me just say that. It was a weekend. All right, let me...
It was your first weekend of the school year.
Oh, God, yes. Well, yeah. See, it's already running together. It was, yeah. I'll tell you what, it was interesting.
I'm looking out for you, bud.
It was interesting. So some of the other games we were keeping an eye on last week, Birmingham and Memphis played to a 2-2 draw. St. Louis and Pittsburgh, boy, we're going to talk about St. Louis in a little bit too. St. Louis and Pittsburgh played out a 2-2 draw as well. Two other games we were keeping an eye on were Hartford and Loudoun, and I'm just going to kind of keep vocally treading water here while these scores load. There they go. Hartford and Loudoun, detecting a theme here, 2-2 draw. And Miami and Charlotte, both of these games were on Sunday. Miami got their first win of the season, beating Charlotte 2-1. I think this is one of those cases where Miami's been so bad that Charlotte must immediately fire their coaching staff. St. Louis's coach will be looking for a job in a few games, so, you know, maybe put it out there. The points per game table, which I'm pretty sure I updated this on Sunday night. Maybe I didn't. We'll see. Actually, I think I did. First of all, taking a look at Group G, Birmingham. Let me double check before I start saying things. Yes, Birmingham is still on top with 18 points after 9 games. Charlotte, second place, 12 points after 8 games. North Carolina FC, 7 points after 7 games. And Memphis, 901, 8 points after 6 games. They've got 901 in their name, but they've got a 1-4-3 record, and that is not going to get you to the playoffs, my guys. Your top 5 points per game in the East. Actually, I didn't update this after Hartford. But maybe I did it on the sheet, though. Currently, I don't want to say currently because there's games going on, but as of August 23rd, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are the points leader. Tied points leader in all of USL, Western and Eastern Conference, and they have the highest points per game in the East at 2.33. Hartford second with 2.29, Indy with 2.11, Birmingham an even 2 points per game, and Pittsburgh at 1.78. Miami has moved out of the bottom five. So your bottom five now is all B teams and Memphis. The only two team reserve team not in the bottom is SKC2, which is with 1.11 is just above Miami, 0.83. Then the best of the worst is Red Bulls 2, 0.75, same as Memphis 0.75, Loudoun 0.71, Philadelphia Tunion 0.67, and Atlanta United 0.55. So I mean those two teams you can't take them for granted, but they're all pretty much the worst. All right, coming up this, do we really want to talk about, is there much of a preview we can do about Charleston? Is there anything we need to add to what's been going on since the last time we've played them? I don't really know. They're in action right now, leading Miami 2-1. That's all we really need to know at this point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the big noteworthy thing is the fact that they're, like, playing right now.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you want to comment on them and you want to create a thing. But, you know, when they're on the field and playing as we speak, it's hard to say specifically. I didn't notice anything in the starting 11 or formationally that really stuck out to me this week. as far as not this week, but like compared to say Saturday compared to today, it's about what you would expect from this club at the moment, as far as the battery are concerned. And they're taking, like, so far speaking, they're taking care of business with Miami. This is a must win for Miami, by the way.
Yeah.
They have to. Like, you got to understand, they haven't played a ton of games. They've only played 7. So, as it stands right now. So, when you factor that in, that means they have a possible, if they go undefeated the rest of the year, they have a possible 27 points on the table to get. So with the 5 that they already have, that's 32 points. They have 32 points is their maximum at this rate. Charleston's already at 17.
Yeah, if the result holds tonight. Because that's a live table.
I'm not looking at the... looking at the live table. Unless you updated it.
No, I didn't, because I had him at 14 hold on. I didn't update the notes, I don't think. I mean, I should be updating the notes, but I don't believe that I did. No, I've got him at 14, but if tonight's result holds, they'd be on 17 coming in here.
Oh, that's confusing. That's really bizarre. Yeah.
All
that's
the USL pages show it as live without telling you it's live. Charlotte's about to knock off North Carolina. North Carolina has been not very good this year. Charlotte's got a 1-0 lead in second half stoppage. That's an interesting game. Charleston and Miami, 62 minutes in. Louisville and Indy level at 0, heading into the end of the first half in first half stoppage. Something must have happened because they're in the 7th minute of first half stoppage, and that only happens in Canada. So I have to go back and look and see if something else had happened there. The one thing I noticed about them a little bit, that they've diversified their offense a little bit, and that's probably just a result of playing more games. I think the first time we previewed them, Zago Lewis was leading in all the offensive categories. Now he's only the goal leader and the chances leader. He's tied for the lead in assists, but he's down to 2nd in shots with 2 less than Piggott. But one of the guys that he's up here with 8 shots, he's tied for 3rd, is Zarakostas, who I remember the name because the Rowdies focused so much on shutting down Lewis in that first game at Al Lang that he had an opportunity. He created a lot of chances, could have gotten a couple of assists if goals had been scored. But a guy you kind of have to keep an eye on. But that game will be on Saturday. It'll be on ESPN and Twitch. I need to hop in Twitch one time and do this for a game. I think I'll do that this weekend. We'll see. Other games coming up this weekend or in progress out. Louisville and Indy as well, too. Hartford hosts Pittsburgh. And Charlotte, who has just about wrapped up a win against North Carolina, will host Birmingham. I think that's the top 2 teams in Group G, which those are the 2 we'd be facing as we come into the playoffs. So we'll keep an eye on that. Luckily, instead of the preview, we do have several other news items to talk about. Start off with one that's kind of been the worst kept secret for a while now, it seems like. St. Louis FC will be ceasing operations as of the end of this season. They have informed USL. We've talked about it. We've kind of hinted about it. What's your thoughts on that, Steven?
Inevitable.
Yeah,
sadly. It was inevitable. If it wasn't this year, it was going to be next year. If it wasn't next year, it was going to be the year after that. It was inevitable. This was going to happen.
It's interesting. They're putting some of the blame, and you know, I'm sure it had some impact and it impacted everybody. They're putting some, said the financial impact of COVID-19 during 2020 and beyond makes it too difficult to continue operations. Want to personally thank all of our corporate partners, fans, and of course the St. Luligans. I'd like to point out that those are in the reverse order of the way they should be. Uh, Jim Cavanaugh, minority investor in the new MLS team, St. Louis City SC, and club owner of St. Louis FC. Collectively, we created something special that brought the St. Louis soccer community alive again. The support of our fans was the foundation of every accomplishment in the last 6 years, and we're very proud of every aspect of how we operated this club. So St. Louis will be without professional soccer after the season until St. Louis City SC starts, which is supposed to be in 2 years, but I don't, you know, I can't tell you what's happening like this week, let alone what's actually going to happen in 2 or 3 years. So we'll have to see. One interesting note is that with Cavanaugh's role as owner of St. Louis FC and a minority investor in St. Louis City SC, Nipun had pointed out earlier today that there's generally a contract clause in the USL franchise agreements that if a MLS team begins operations in the same market that has any shared or cross ownership, that they have to make a payment to USL equivalent to 7% of the MLS expansion fee. Apparently in this situation, that's been waived or agreed to not happen. Which is, you know, USL is going to miss out on a little bit of a paycheck from that, but they've done pretty well the last few years in some of these instances. So I guess they really don't have room to complain. I posted about it last night because I was one of those, like, I know I didn't have a lot of work that I had to do today, so I wasn't really able to fall asleep.
Well, let's not ignore the law of large numbers. That's if that ends up being true in its entirety, that's like a $20 million check that they might have said no to.
Yeah. You know, maybe USL doesn't want to take that in because then they don't want to have to be pressured to dole out more bailout money, COVID bailout funds to the clubs.
Oh, jeez. I mean, you're not wrong. Maybe they just agreed to something fewer and they just said, no, we waived the specific 7%.
Yeah.
And so they can say that publicly, but maybe there's a lower payment involved, or maybe there's some other shenanigans going on, like, I don't know, an expansion team that maybe somebody's talking about purchasing a thing for that, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Which I think is really kind of sad because, you know, it's just been recently that U.S. Soccer has admitted that they're open to the idea of solidarity payments, and now USL is not even going to get one from St. Louis City FC or SC, whatever they're calling themselves. I'm Max. I always wanted to make that trip. I've got my wife's got family out there. St. Louligans seem to be a very well-run organization as far as what they've ended up doing. I think they're kind of the role model or a template for a lot of groups starting up as far as how to support your team and be involved in the community. They're doing lots of fundraisers at every tailgate, at everything they do, which it was like they're one of the first groups, even before the mob started doing a lot of getting more involved locally. As far as I was like, oh, you can do something more than just go to the game and drink and cheer. There's other things. That's a neat concept. So, you know, the group's still going to stick around, and I guess they're going to be, you know, it was a topic of much derision on soccer Twitter when St. Louis FC was like, oh, you're going to inherit the best group of fans in the, and you know, there's St. Louis FC fans who are not going to want to be St. Louis City SC fans. Like they're there for the St. Louis FC experience. Kind of the way I'd feel if a MLS team that was not the Rowdies came to town, maybe. I don't know. I hate to see it though. It's, you know, one of the historic soccer cities in America, and they were part of kind of restarting the culture there, and now it's going to go out. Like the MLS team is going to have their jobs cut out with some kind of programming for 2 years to engage people and maybe try and keep some of the casual fans still interested for when they roll around in their bright, shiny new stadium, whenever that happens.
I hate American soccer sometimes.
I was just going to say, man, it's not a pyramid. It's a ziggurat once again. The next thing I wanted to mention, it was I saw the some tweets about it right before. We mentioned it earlier a couple weeks ago. Hartford Athletics head coach was alleged to have been involved in some kind of physical altercation with apparently someone in the team. I guess it wasn't a player originally. USL released a statement today. The USL notified Hartford Athletic today that the league will not be pursuing disciplinary actions against head coach Roddy Jaidi. I probably mangled that. I apologize. Following a thorough investigation, including interviews with 23 players and 3 staff, the evidence did not support the initial allegations or a finding that Jaidi violated league rules on personal conduct. So I don't know the entire story. I thought it was something involving a player, but apparently not, because 23 players sounds like probably their entire roster. I mean, it would be bigger than our roster, I think. So whatever, whatever's going on there, at least that part's been resolved, but it sounds like there might be, you know, some deeper personal issues with at least one or two other people that they're going to have to get sorted out. But we had mentioned the allegations in the show, so it's only fair to mention the outcome of that as well. Lastly, we got some fun news now.
Yes, we do.
And I guess going back to school and like adjusting to that, not being as extremely online as I usually am in the summer months, and then coming home and having to run from the garage to the shower just to make sure I'm cleaned off and everything after spending a day with quite a few number of kids. So I kind of missed it at first and then caught it yesterday. Longtime supporter of the show, current patron of the show as well. I don't remember if he's been, I think he's still a staff sergeant. Can't remember. He'll let us know, I'm sure. I'm going to go ahead and call him staff sergeant, drill instructor, Kevin Vicario, United States Marine Corps, is engaged, or as he announced it, the Rowdies and the Mob will be, have acquired his fiance on a free transfer from Bavaria. Did his proposal at, I can't think of the name of the giant park in Savannah. It's one of my favorite places in the country to go to, and I can't even think of the name right now. But congratulations to Kevin. I made a joking thing that, you know, Kevin supports the show and has found his soulmate. If you're looking for yours, maybe you should too. And then I had like 3 or 4 people go, well, actually, I met my now wife after hanging out at a show at the Rowdy's Den one time, or when Dan did the poutine challenge, then another now wedded couple has come out of that. And so I, you know, 60% of the time, it works every time. What can I say about us? We've got that magic touch. So now I know why you're the co-host, Stephen. This is it, isn't it?
No. You see, I'm the one that's here to buck the trend, to show that we're just human. I'm the one to show that it's not a perfection of a world.
We are the singers of songs and the dreamers of dreams, Stephen. Don't ever think otherwise. It happened for them. It can happen for you, too. I'm suddenly channeling Bill Murray at the end of Scrooged, which there's worse things I could channel. Trust me.
Yeah,
I've done
if
it
that
before.
Beautiful singing is a scratched record screaming out at me, that would be me.
Is it record scratch, freeze frame? Yep, that's me. Bet you're wondering buffering. How I ended up here.
Buffering. Buffering.
Oh, God. Man.
That 5-minute download time just became a 30-minute download time. Yeah, that's me.
All right. Let's wrap this up, and I know I switched this over to my color for the night because I was there. I didn't see you there the other night for the semifinals, the EUSL semifinals.
I was not there, actually. That's why.
I get to do this for once.
Yes, you do.
It was historic. It was magisterial, to borrow a phrase from longtime Rowdy's foe Ray Hudson. In the EUSL semifinals, our guy, Carlos, he pulled a Neil Collins. Neil went with the rolled out the 3-4-3 against Atlanta over the weekend. Carlos played as Celtic.
Whoa.
Rolled it out, and he, you know, and Carlos, you know, going into it was talking on the stream beforehand, was very confident. He says, "Look, you know, he beat me recently, but I think I have a handle on how he plays." And I'm going to he switched it up to Celtic at the last second, and he beat the previously unbeaten, untied, record unblemished Coach S. Smith. It was like 4-1 in the first leg. It's like 3-0 at halftime. And in about like the first 30 minutes, Carlos could not miss. They both scored in the second half of the first leg. First leg finished 4-1. Carlos got one late. Like, it was the dagger. He was at that point, it kind of really felt like it was over, but you don't count Coach S. Smith out. Second leg was like full attack, full onslaught from Coach S. Smith, and Carlos sat back and absorbed it, got a goal when he could. Second leg finished 1-1, and Carlos won 5-2, advances to the final, which is TBA, but is probably sometime this weekend. I have not noticed who he's going to play yet. But I mean, just from following this tournament along for, you know, the like 6 months it's been going on now, it feels like, I kind of felt watching that game that the whoever won that semifinal is got to be at least the favorite, if not the likely winner for the final overall. Smith was the top seed. Carlos was what had to be like second or third, right? There's no way he was the fourth seed heading into this. I don't think of the players who were left.
Third seed or fourth seed? Yeah. Ooh, that's a tough one because I already deleted the link that had the standings on it. I think he finished in third. Either way,
we'll have to see. We'll have to see when the game is. It should be interesting. But I'm feeling good about Carlos. He was, man. His dad popped in on the stream for a little while. We all said hi to his dad, and it was a good time. All right. Stephen, it's already 9:15. It feels like it's only been like half an hour. We've been doing this for like nearly an hour and a half.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
I guess so. Like, I was kind of pumped up for the show tonight. I'm like, you know, I got a lot of work done today. I even went in wearing like what I was going to wear to the game on Saturday. I had my my Rowdy's polo, my custom. I'm not going to say where it came from because I don't want them to get in trouble for making it, but my custom Rowdy's mask. I don't know if I posted a picture of it. I wore my the unofficial official shoe of the Skyway Casuals, the Adidas Hamburg, with the green outside and the yellow in interiors. It was nice, and I was like, I was all pumped for today, man. I almost went out and walked around campus to get my midday walk to get, you know, get the muscles loosened, warm up a little bit. I see the players do it. I was going to do it too, but I was wearing jeans and it was too warm outside, so I didn't. But I was pumped for tonight, and then a bunch of other stuff happened, and then we talked about that too. So, let's wrap it up. Steven, start taking us out of here.
All right. Well, let's see here. First of all, did we do Are We Love Yous?
Oh, no, we didn't. We'll let you lead.
We didn't do Are We Love Yous. My We Love You for the week is the Tampa Bay Rowdies players and coaches for their immense amount of love and appreciation that they showed to Mary for the tragic passing of her husband, Dieter. I absolutely love that this club does what it can to show its support to its fan base, to its supporters. I hope that that never goes away. I hope that we continue to do things like this for our fan base, because ultimately we are a family. It's a small group. Let's be real. It's a second division American club. This is a small group of people that follow this club on a grand scale. We have to be connected like this. And I absolutely love the fact that they did that this weekend and made sure that they also mentioned the other two that we have past. To be honest, I don't even know the third name. I still don't even know who that gentleman is, and I feel terrible for that. It wasn't something that I saw on my Facebook or Twitter feeds.
Right.
So it was totally unexpected for me. But they obviously mentioned Christy Morgan as well, who had passed away a week before that during a moment of silence before the game started. I love it. I love it. And I hope that we continue to do and make sure that we're doing that kind of thing for our fan base.
Look, we're not perfect. We get stuff wrong. But more often than not, we get the big things right. At least the team does, and the fans for the most part do, and you literally love to see it. So, yeah, that's mine as well. And shout out to Mike too. I don't think we paid him enough. I don't know that we pumped his ego up enough at the beginning of the show. So I'm just going to go ahead and mention him in there again now. All right, let's go.
All right. Thank you to Wolfface for providing our amazing intro music, to Radio St. Pete for allowing us a chance to do this live on the radio for all of you people listening to us, and of course to Shamrock Pub, our secret underground bunker, for giving us a place to do live broadcasts from time to time. Maybe next week? Maybe. We'll have to see.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Did you ever listen to Chris Thomas back when he was on WDAE on sports radio in Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Reminded me of what he always used to like say when someone would ask him, oh, is this going to happen? He's like, definitely will, or maybe not. Definitely one of the two of those. That's what we'll say. It's going to happen, but it might not, but it's definitely going to be one of those two. Thank you to everyone who tuned in, listened tonight. Thank you to everybody who tuned in, listen later on the podcast. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review. Other shows you might be interested in sharing, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. I dug up my five names while we were doing the show so I could throw them out there. Other BGN shows that are worth lending an ear to while you wait for us to get around to posting the show, which now takes longer because I am back at work during the weekdays, and it's not as easy to do that from behind the school district's filters. The Hot Brown Soccer Town show, which is Louisville City-centric, but they've got a lot of info also about the new women's side racing Louisville FC, or as I'm predisposed to calling it as a Liverpool fan, Racing LFC. The show that kind of got the whole network started, our friends up in Pittsburgh, Mongols. One of the newest shows, the Banter Pub FC. If for some reason you'd like to hear some more about Philadelphia Union, one of the frequent Suncoast Invitational participants, View from the Bridge. Last but not least, Backyard Footy, which is a really good and relevant show lately. Check those, give those five a listen while you're waiting for us. If you want to support us on ongoing, if you want to be cool like Mike, and everybody should want to be cool like Mike, get your name as a producer at the beginning of the show, or just get some stickers and virtual high fives. Steven, how can they do that?
Patreon is the best way to support us. You can start on a monthly donation of as low as $1 a month. It does go upwards of $10 a month. It makes sure that the costs of running this website and this podcast are not out of our pockets completely. We do appreciate all of the support, and we do give gifts. You may call them bribes, but we call them gifts for the support. We do love every single one of you that listen to us and support us in that manner.
I got to figure out some way to distribute these Tejada stickers that I just got. I meant to bring them to the game on Saturday, and then I couldn't. I want to try and talk to Juan, or talk to someone to talk to Juan. This is where Mike would have come in really handy if he was still employed by the team, because usually we give them out to patrons and whatnot. But if Juan had a particular organization or charity or something in mind that was taking donations, I would be willing to donate a sticker to everyone who made a donation to that, possibly. I will figure it out. Don't know who to talk to these days anymore, but we can try and figure that out. Also need to send a big thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. They're also selling in masks, and I believe doing custom masks as well, too. Steven, who else do we got on the line here?
If you are tired of the same old uniforms and cookie-cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, and you're looking for something completely unique and custom for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com.
All right, that's it for us this week. Next week isn't a Wednesday game, is it?
Yeah, that's why I said what I said.
You're not going to believe this, but I wasn't listening. And what did you say?
It is Wednesday, September 2nd.
Oh, man.
But I believe it's a home game. Right? Yeah, next week's a home game.
Next week's home game on Wednesday. Probably actually be able to go.
Because we play Miami.
But we won't be able to do the show. We might. Right, we got to figure something out.
We'll have to figure something out.
All right, we will do that and and share the thing that gets figured out. Follow us online at UnusedSubsPod, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on platforms yet to be created. You can watch us dance on TikTok. No, not really. You can't. You wouldn't want to. If you do,
no, you wouldn't want to.
If you do, I'm required by the state of Florida to report these kinds of problems. But yeah, we will do this again sometime. Steven, I will see you probably somewhere in Twitch land over the weekend, I suppose.
I would think you're probably right.
Maybe we should just, maybe we should just take over the if Rowdy's Gaming is doing a watch party. Maybe we should just take it over. We can call it a collaboration, but we're just going to take over.
Hardy har har.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right, thank you guys for listening. We will be back sometime to talk to you about some things and also a little bit of Rowdy soccer. See ya.
Go Rowdies.
The Rowdies go here, the Rowdies go there, they kick the ball around. The Rowdies go here, the Rowdies go there, they pull around. Oh, the Rowdies!